for God's people within these walls when we come together. And that's our dream and our goal. I know it's a big goal, and yet we have a God who wants to transform lives around us. You know what hit me this week when we think about that is why are so many churches struggling? And why do hundreds of churches in America close every week? And part of it is because we lose a vision for the greatness of our God. Somebody was telling me in one of our nearby communities, there have been an advancement of other cult religions in our nearby communities. And I have to wonder, where's the honor of our God? Where's the glory of our God? I think God's people need to rise up and say, we will serve our God boldly. And it's not to be hateful toward other faiths and religions. It's not about that. But if we serve the one true God, his church ought to be alive and well. And I believe it has to do with God's people having a greater vision than what we personally want. It has to be what he wants. The only question to ask when we come to church is, God, what do you want? And how am I to live? And I want you to know that's what I dedicate my life to. And I ask that question today. God, where is your honor? How do we just glorify your name here? How do the people around us see how great you are? And you know what's different than what took place in Paris? When we get bold for Jesus Christ, people get blessed. They don't lose their lives. They get blessed and loved and cared for and ministered to, and we come around them in ways that are just outrageously graceful. It is so the opposite of what took place in Paris and how horrific that was. And I'm praying for that kind of outpouring here. And I believe that you're the people that God's called to do that. I really do. And I can't wait to see what he does and how he unfolds that. But if you're one of those people in your community that God is raising up to pray and be a part of a leadership team that says, how do we reach the South Metro for Jesus Christ? If that's you, let us know. Because we want you to be on point in your community and praying and leading and being literally an influence for Christ right where you live. Let's look into Luke chapter. Oh, by the way, if you want to be baptized next week, and I would say as a Christ follower, how do you not proclaim in baptism who he is? How do you not proclaim it's the wedding ring of the Christian faith? When you put it on, you say, he is my Lord, he is my Savior. So next Sunday night, we're going to have baptisms. If you want to be baptized, not too late. The videotaping is done. We're not going to videotape any more testimonies. You might have to talk live, or you may not have to say anything. We'll see how it goes. But if you need to be baptized, you need to follow in obedience to Christ and let me know, okay? I mean, that literally is a journey that when you come to faith in Scripture, when they came to faith in Christ, they got baptized. It was just part of the journey. I want to ask you a question as we begin looking into this text. Is there anything you look forward to every year? What do you look forward to every year? Anything? Spring. Of course you do. Of course you do. I should have known that was coming. Spring. Yeah, that's kind of a geographic answer. It would be different if you're down south. There wouldn't be spring. What else do you look forward to? All right, we look forward to gathering with family, don't we, and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. Somebody yelled it over here, Christmas, yeah. We look forward to that time. We look forward to Thanksgiving. We're coming up on a period of time that I think, you know, the dreams about it are a little higher than sometimes they end up being, don't they? Kind of, there's a letdown after the fact. Anybody else ever feel that? I don't know how many times I've gone home on Christmas Eve after Christmas Eve services and all the buildup for that. And by the way, we're going to have a great Christmas Eve service this year. Come and join us at 3 and 4:30 on Christmas Eve. Those times we're going to fill this place. But after that, I can tell you the number of times I've gone home afterward and said, we want Christ to be the Lord of our home. We want something more than this. But when we gather for that moment and we're all holding candles together in the candlelight carol service on Christmas Eve, it's like for that moment, I don't know about you, but I look forward to that moment all year long. It's like the most peaceful moment of the year. When it's dark and the light shines and everybody's holding that candle and we recognize that Christ is the light. And I look forward to that all year long. In our scripture today, they're about ready to take the feast of Passover. And for 1,500 years, they've been doing this over and over again. Now, Jerusalem is swelling with followers of who is this Jesus? Hundreds of thousands of people are following him. But it's swelling because of the Passover, that feast that was taking place. People would descend upon Jerusalem. If not every year, every family wanted to get there at least one time in their life. They wanted to go to Jerusalem and celebrate the Passover. They wanted to go to the temple. They wanted to be there. And every male had to be there. And it was like game day. Jerusalem would have been swelling like a tent city. You know how it is on game day when, at least in Nebraska, it was this way. Maybe not around here because you got too many things to do. But in Nebraska, there's not a lot to do. So what happened is a game day, it swelled outside of University of Nebraska Stadium, and people had their tents set up and campers, and they were there for a couple of days, if not the whole weekend. But here at Jerusalem, and all the ingredients were the same for the meal in every household. They have the exact questions that they would answer year after year, the same prayers, the same cups, the same bowls. And the youngest male in every house would have questions that he would have been rehearsing and memorizing to lead up to this Passover. Our kids, every year, looked forward to Grandpa reading the Christmas story. Every year, they longed for Grandpa to just get out, get into Luke 2 and read it, and they just sat there like they had never heard it before. Well, leading up to the Passover, there are these questions that the youngest male would have to memorize as a part of their tradition. Their city had even been beautified. You know how it is. I heard that when the Pope visited Cuba, that they even painted all the buildings down the street he was going to travel on. They filled all the potholes. Well, as Passover came to Jerusalem, they would fill the potholes on the roads that people would come into the city on. They would clean it up. They would beautify it. They would even go to all the graves and they would paint them white. And if it was a grave marker on the side of the road, they would paint it white so that you wouldn't touch it, so that you wouldn't be defiled, so you could come and you could worship, so you could be a part of the Passover, so you wouldn't be unclean. And the youngest male would ask, here's the question that they had been asking for 1,446 years. What makes this night different from all the others? That's the question they would have been asking. You know that Israel spent over 400 years as captives, right? And now they were captives for about 1,000 years in a different kind of captivity. And it was currently the Romans who held them literally under oppression. They had been an oppressed people. But if you remember the story back in Egypt and the 9 plagues and finally the 10th plague, it was the one that they were here addressing in the Passover. But remember, God raised up Moses to go and speak. And Moses said, I can't go. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I stutter. And he said, I will be your words and your mouth, and I will speak. God spoke through Moses, and it was our Lord that led the people out of Egypt, and he gave them freedom. Moses chosen because the Bible said he was the most humble man on the face of the earth. I want you to look back to Exodus chapter 12 before we get into Luke 22. Just look in your Bibles back to Exodus chapter 12. I want you to see what took place there and what we're referring back to, the Passover. The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to begin in verse 1 of Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. From now on, the year begins here. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses. a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight.